Last week, Pastor Cindy preached about the walls and separations we erect, real or imagined, between ourselves and others, and also God. She talked about how the temple in the time of Jesus was built to keep certain people in and out, the division of God's people and the Gentiles. Today, we consider a miracle of Jesus as a way to understand that we ought to blend both the sacred and the secular in the ways in which we approach God's created world. We read from Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy foods for themselves." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, broke the loaves, then gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Donald Miller's best-selling book, Blue Like Jazz, which also became a movie, the author shares about his struggles with faith, God, spirituality, fitting in, and how all that comes together. Miller, in a semi-autobiographical way, explains his life and his challenge to know God and come to terms with the complexities and also the inconsistencies of faith. Miller explains the title of the book as a way to describe his journey. He writes, "I never liked jazz music because jazz music doesn't resolve. But I was outside the Baghdad Theater in Portland one night when I saw a man playing the saxophone. I stood there for 15 minutes and he never opened his eyes. After that, I liked jazz music." Sometimes, he writes, you have to watch someone love something before you can love it yourself. It is as if they are showing you the way. I used to not like God because God didn't resolve. But that was before any of this happened. Miller's book encapsulated the spiritual and faith wanderings of a generation. Perhaps a very simple but profound truth that Miller struggles with is the oscillation between his friends and acquaintances, those who are Christian and those who are not. The dualism he faces in his relationships is a common theme throughout the book as he and others struggle through faith. Miller's book highlights the way in which many Americans see life: religious, non-religious, spiritual, not spiritual, Democrat, Republican, white, black, conservative, liberal, and so on and so on. However, as we know, issues, belief, ideology, theology, or any ology is not always binary. There is always a mixing of extremes in the middle. There will always be those who find God difficult because of the perception that God doesn't always resolve competing ideas or forces the way we would like. However, there are those in our culture who want to keep things as a two-sided issue or construct. It is always easier to be right when there is only one other wrong. Such duality also attempts to simplify complex realities in order to divide and have absolute certainty. Duality not only exists in systems of thought, but also in spirituality as well. In our scripture today, we read a story about Jesus' miracle of taking just some fish and bread, enough to maybe feed a family, and turning it into a meal for thousands. Traditionally, the scripture is approached with the interpretive lens of God's abundance, generosity, and supernatural ability to change circumstances. Those are important interpretations of this passage. But today, I ask that we consider with a fresh mind what this story communicates in a very unexpected way. Here in this miracle passage, Jesus is just fresh off of mourning the death of his relative, John the Baptist. Unexpectedly, Jesus is faced with the crowds and has compassion on them by healing the sick. When the issue of hunger comes up, there are only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Surely that couldn't feed very many people. Amazingly, Jesus miraculously multiplies the 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds 5,000 men and women and children, so much so that there are leftovers. The connotation is very heavy that this event mirrors Holy Communion in language, which is almost identical to the Last Supper as recorded later in the book of Matthew. We read the connections. Evening comes. Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, just as Jesus took bread in the Last Supper. There's the act of blessing or giving thanks, and then breaking and giving to the disciples, the people. And in both situations, all ate. What we may miss in this miracle story is Jesus' ability to take the very mundane, secular, and common elements and transform them into something special and sacred. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus takes these seemingly basic elements, bread and fish, to make a spectacular divine miracle. For our Catholic brothers and sisters, the Eucharist is the result of a miracle transformation of seemingly average, secular, common bread and wine and made into the sacred act of Holy Communion. Is the miracle that Jesus here feeds 5,000? Or is the miracle that Jesus brought together average, non-spiritual elements, bread and fish, in order to create sacred moment of community, the presence of God, and fulfillment? It's probably both. Many years ago, before I was Pastor Allen or Reverend Rudnick, I was just a little boy named Allen. And just as any little boy would do, I loved to play games. And one day at church, there was a large church dinner, and my family was at this event that featured a speaker. And apparently, there was nothing for us children to do at this boring event, so we children had to make our own fun. A group of us kids decided it was a great idea to play hide and seek, but instead of the usual rules of the game, we decided that you had to physically tag someone who was hiding. I was hiding from the seeker who found me hiding in a room, and upon discovery, I ran away so the seeker wouldn't tag me. Well, as I ran down a long church hallway, I didn't notice that there was a very tall adult standing there. And she grabbed me by the arm and said, "What on earth are you doing? You cannot run in church." When I was in youth group as a teenager, I remember a friend brought a comedy CD that we were all giggling, listening to at the back of a church bus on the way to a church retreat. One of the chaperones took notice and asked what we were listening to. We told him about the CD, and he asked to listen. And he took the earphones and listened to it for about 10 seconds. And there was a look of shock on his face. And he just blurted out, "You can't listen to this. We're on a church trip." In a previous church I served, we had a community assistance ministry shared by the four churches in town. One day, when our church was administering the fund, a person came in for assistance. And as soon as I explained the process to them, they started yelling and screaming. And I really couldn't make out what this person was saying. But this individual started cursing and yelling obscenities and other four-letter words. Well, after it was all over and the person left, a church member came into my office with a stunned look on their face and said, "Oh my, you can't say those things in church." Can you detect the theme in these three stories? The central phrase or idea that shares a commonality. Did you hear it? You can't fill in the blank because, well, church. Maybe you've said something like this to someone, or maybe someone has said it to you. But I've always wondered, if you can't say something in church, where can you say it? Now, I'm not an advocate that we all start running around the hallways of church, cursing and listening to provocative comedians when we're all done with COVID-19. But these three stories illustrate the so ingrained dualism of how we see God's world. There are the things that I do when I'm at church, what I say, how I act, what I do, who I hang out with and sing, the sacred. And then there's the things I do outside the church, what I say, what I do, who I hang out with, everything else, the secular. In our culture, we tend to bifurcate our sacred life and the secular life, as if the two never cross and aren't supposed to cross. Jesus demonstrates a deeper, profound truth of how God interacts with God's creation. The union of the sacred and the secular. When Jesus utilized fish and bread in the feeding of the 5,000, two secular objects, he fused together the secular and the sacred. Our spiritual lives, the way we were created in the beginning of Genesis, was a fusion of the secular and the sacred. We read that we're made from the dust of the earth, and God breathed holy life, pneuma, spirit, into Adam. The imagery here is that the mundane elements of life have union with the sacred presence of God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 tell us this: "For him, Christ, were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him." When Jesus took those fish and loaves, it was not only a miracle, but it was a pronouncement of God's power and participation in the material and spiritual, the secular and the sacred, and between the holy God and humanity. God is in all things. God is either creating, sustaining, or redeeming all things in your life and in mine. This spirituality of God continually creating, sustaining, and redeeming is quite evident in life. Father Greg Boyle is the founder and director of Homeboy Industries and the author of Tattoos of the Heart. Homeboy Industries was started over 30 years ago in Los Angeles in order to change the lives of gang members. When our culture turned its back on gang members, believing that they were sinful and lost souls, Boyle reached out to this community. Greg Boyle talks about, in his book, the integration of how the secular and the sacred meet. He writes, "God's unwieldy love, which cannot be contained by our words, wants to accept all that we are and sees our humanity as the privileged place to encounter this magnanimous love. No part of our hardwiring or our messy selves is to be disparaged. Where we stand in all of our mistakes and imperfection, he writes, is holy ground. It is where God has chosen to be intimate with us, and not in any way but this. It is certainly true that you can't judge a book by its cover, he says, nor can you judge a book by its first chapter, even if that chapter is 20 years long. When the vastness of God meets the restriction of our own humanity, words cannot hold it. In Christ, God creates new possibilities. When we open ourselves in the midst of the ordinary, loaves and fish, brick and mortar, dust and dirt, God sustains us in the miracles of life, giving sustenance through our church and ministries. God redeems in the lives of gang members, wayward children, and damaged relationships. Today, when you see the average, mundane, and the fallen, know that God sees miracle, vibrancy, and the sacred. May you know God's continual, sacred, creating, sustaining, and redeeming in your life in all things. Just when you think life has met its limits, the secular is separated from the sacred, just wait, because God is ready to turn fish and loaves into a sacred miracle in your life. Let us pray. God, we may not realize it, but you are in every fiber of our being, every atom that was created in this world and universe. You have left your mark upon your creation. God, who are we to say things cannot be redeemed? Who are we to not see the sacred in the secular? Who are we to pronounce that something is finished when you see that it can be renewed? God, help us to see that when Jesus performed this miracle, taking the average mundane elements of life and transforming them into abundance and sacredness, help us see that that is an illustration for our lives, that you can take the pieces that are scattered around and collect them and transform them and make them into something new. Help us see the sacred in all areas of our life. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.